محمد وعلى محمد صلوات. I think I can get a louder salawat than this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بفضل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على حبيب قلوبنا شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا مولانا الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته طيبين طاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المنتخبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس ويطهرهم تطهيرا. سيما بقية الله في الأرضين عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وفرجنا به وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيته وزواره في الدنيا وارزقنا شفاعته يوم الورود ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى لقائك يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. وأما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear adults, my dear sisters, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله. I'd like to begin my talk this morning by showing my gratitude, by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have given us this opportunity of getting together, not just anywhere, but getting together in a city, in a holy city of Qom, the city that is known as the city of Ijtihad, the city of knowledge. And most important is the city which is blessed in this world by the existence of Hazrat Fatima Ma'asuma Salamullah Alayha. I personally feel honored to be here, and I'm sure during this time all of us are going to have a chance to learn from each other a lot, to the extent that when we leave from here, it's not just going to be what we have learned from the lectures, but also what we have learned from one another. My topic this morning, as you all know, is the philosophy of hijab. When we look into the history of hijab, we find that different school of thoughts have brought different theology or different myths about hijab. And some of these kind of thinkings are not only in the past, but they are even present today. In the past, we've had some school of thoughts who felt or who thought that Islam is a religion that only covers a woman and keeps her at home, so that she just, all she is capable of is to cook and clean and raise kids, and she just has to be at home, and she doesn't even have the rights to acquire knowledge. She doesn't have the rights to educate herself. Then we've had people who think that a woman is nothing in Islam. Then we have people who think that a woman is not even considered to be human, right? So throughout, and some of this way of thinking, we find that we have them even today in the society. But really, if we study these people, we will find out that they have really not understand what is a woman, or what is the role of a woman in the society, or who is a woman altogether. The very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we all know that Allah, being the most merciful God, the most beneficent God that we have known, why would God ask a believing woman to cover herself when she goes out in the society? On one hand, we find that Allah is so merciful, and then on the other hand, He is asking this believing woman to dress up in a particular way where she would be looked at differently in the society, right? But the very fact that Allah wants a believing woman to go out in a particular way in the society, it shows and it proves that this believing woman is special in the eyes of Allah. Because if you have diamond, right, you're not going to just throw diamond anywhere. You're not just going to hold the diamond anywhere. You're not going to take out your diamond ring and throw anywhere to be accessible to everyone. Right? So the very fact that Allah wants a believing woman to go out in a particular way in the society, it shows and it proves that this believing woman is a special one in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah wants her to dress up differently, to dress up in a particular manner in the society, because she is diamond of the society. She is not just any type of woman out there. And when a believing woman removes hijab, then she becomes just like anybody else in the society. It is the hijab, it is the covering of the woman that makes her special out there. Give me salawat, please. In psychology, there is this theory that you are given a glass, and just that it happens my glass is perfect for my example right now. Then you are asked to look at this glass. So some of us would say, like you would be asked, what do you see? Some of us would say that I see half glass empty, right? And some of us would say that I see half glass full of water. You see the difference? The difference is in the perception, how we perceive things. People will look at the laws of Allah to be exactly the same as half glass empty. And some of us would look at the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be as full glass with water. When a believing woman looks at hijab out there in the society, especially in the countries, in such mosaic and multicultural countries that me and you are residing in, my dear sisters, where the society has turned a woman into nothing but a sexual object. And I have a point to prove. The market wants to sell the car. They have to have a naked woman passing by, a woman in the bikini. When the market out there wants to advertise the shaving machine for a man, they have to have a woman in the bikini passing by there. All you see out there is, in a way, the society has said, okay, we'll give you, woman, your freedom. And yes, we have to accept that we have got a lot of freedom than probably our mother's time, right? The very fact that me and you can travel alone from wherever we are coming from to be here in order for us to acquire knowledge is freedom in its own way, isn't it? My mother could not do that. My mother tells me all the time that they could not dare to even ask the meaning of Quran. They just had to read Quran the way it was. Why? Because at that time, right, women were not considered capable of learning anything. The only thing they could do was cook, clean, and I'm not underestimating that. And at any point, everything has its importance in its right place, right? But the very fact that me and you could travel on our own, come all the way from Canada, America, England, Kenya, wherever, right? To come here to be able to seek knowledge is a freedom itself. So the society on one hand has given a woman some freedom, but on the other hand it has turned this woman into nothing but a sexual object. Look at the kind of clothes they make for us. Nowadays you find women wearing short tops, so tight, and the kind of genes that even I, as a woman, when I look at them, I am ashamed. You see, pictures, those of us who live in Toronto, if you are traveling by the subway, there was a time at the subway, they had these large pictures of three women just in bikini. And every time I pass by there and I would look at these pictures, it used to be painful for me. I say, this is not the role of a woman in the society. This is not what a woman is in the society. And in a society like that, Allah, who is the most merciful and the most beneficent one, is asking this believing woman to dress up in a particular form, in a particular manner, to come out in that society so that she can be looked upon differently. Hijab would give this woman, this believing woman, her self-esteem. That when the society looks at me, it would not look at me as a sexual object anymore, but it will look at me differently. I've had, I know the sisters who have converted to Islam. And when they look at us, or even sometimes when we talk to the non-Muslim sisters, when they look at us, they say that whenever we look at you guys who are covering like this, it reminds us of Maryam. Right? It reminds us of Maryam. Because they know that Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam used to cover herself. They know that that is what a woman is supposed to be. And they realize themselves that society has turned them nothing but into a sexual object. And it is very unfortunate to see that not only the Western world is seen that way, but sometimes even us as Muslim women, we find it difficult to understand the philosophy of hijab. Hijab is something that even in the Islamic ummah, in the Islamic communities, we find people who still have a lot of problems understanding it. When a Muslim woman removes her hijab, it's just because she has not understood her own values yet. September 11 happened in America. And as soon as after September 11, so many women in Canada, in Toronto itself, removed the hijab. And after that, government had conducted a special, had conducted a research. And this research was target special to Muslim women who have hijab on. They assigned particular companies, right? And they told them that when a Muslim woman comes here in hijab, just give them this particular sentence and see what they do. And the sentence just says that if you change your outfit, we are going to hire you. As simple as that. Just if you change your outfit, we are going to hire you. This research showed that more than 60% of Muslim women removed their hijab. You see how pity it is? More than 60%. Now, of course, the research was conducted into different ethnic groups. But it doesn't matter whether you are Pakistani or Afghanistani or Hindustani, you are still a Muslim, right? More than 60% of Muslim women removed hijab. As simple as that, just by one sentence. Sometimes I hear sisters telling me that, oh, I have met this guy, he's the best one. I was going to mention this in my marriage talk, but I'll mention it right now since I just remembered it, right? They'll say, oh, I have met Sister Latifah, this guy is unique, he's the best. He's got everything that I want. And I'm like, okay, good luck. Lucky you. So this lady would say, but there's one thing. And I say, okay, what is that but? And she'll say, he doesn't want me to wear hijab. How pity it is. If a Muslim man would ask a Muslim woman who already is in hijab to remove her hijab, that proves to us that our society still did not understand the position of a woman in the society. The society has yet to learn the importance of a woman in the society. And in a way, it is up to me and you to teach them. When these kind of guys come to propose you, then you just have to tell them either, sorry, I'm not getting married to you, move along, or educate them about it. Right? Give me a salat, please. Having said that, I'll go right down to the verse of the Quran. But before that, I would like to point out what was the event that took place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran in Surah Ahzab, which is chapter number 33, verse number 59. We find in our tafsir books that women during the time of our holy prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. No, sisters, I can get a louder salawat than that. It's only 9:20 in the morning. We've just had a breakfast. We just got here, and I don't expect anybody to doze off, so please give me even a louder than that one. Thank you. So we see in our tafsir books that women during the time of our prophet were going to complain to the prophet. And I want you to pay attention to this one. Women were saying to the prophet that when they were going to the masjid, especially for Maghribain Salah, men were standing outside harassing them. Okay? Men, and this was happening when? During the time of our prophet. And I'm going to give you in details the meaning of harassment according to today's term, but I'm going back to the time of the prophet. So these women were complaining to the prophet, and we also see that some women were complaining to their husbands, and the husbands would go to the holy prophet, but majority was the group of women who would go themselves to the prophet. And as we all know, the prophet would never say anything from himself. He would always wait for the verse of the Quran for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send him a message. And one day Allah sends him this message telling him, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O my prophet, O my nabi, Qul li azwajikum, okay, Qul li azwajikum wa banatika, Qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin. That O prophet, tell your wives, and watch out this, it wasn't the wives of the prophet who went to complain, right? It was the women in the society who went to complain to the prophet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts right from the root, right from the household of the prophet himself, by telling the prophet that tell your wives to begin with, your own wives, right? And your daughters, and then tell the believing women. Now note here, it's not the Muslim women, it is the believing women, not the ones who have only submitted, but the ones who have believed to do what? Yudnina alayhinna min jalabi bihinna. That this outer garment of theirs, the outer garment, okay, they should throw themselves, they should cover themselves with it. So it is obvious that it is an outer piece that we are supposed to have, right? In our terms today, it could be a scarf, it could be a jacket that we wear, a mantle that we wear, right? But something on top of the pants and those short tops, okay? Then Allah tells him why. He says, Dhalika adna. This is better for them. This is preferable for them. This is how Allah prefers a believing woman to go out. He doesn't stop here, but he continues, because Allah knew that people are going to question later on that why this is preferable for a woman to go out. Allah says, "Ay yu'rafna," so that they are going to be recognized in the society. Sometimes we hear sisters saying that If I wear hijab, I stand out. In a society like Canada, like America, like England, if I wear hijab, I really stand out. Everybody knows. I say, yes, Allah wants you to be recognized because He says, and you rafna, you would be recognized out there. But there is a message in that recognition. Allah wants a believing woman to be recognized differently in the society and not just as a sexual object. So that recognition has a meaning behind it. Then Allah says, why? Why He wants you to be recognized? فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَا, so that you will not be harassed. Those men out there are going to look at you differently, with a different eye. Okay? Then Allah says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. But my prophet, tell these women that if they did not know before, if they were not covering themselves before, and now they're finding out, and they start to cover themselves, and they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will find Allah to be ghafoor, to be the most merciful, the most forgiving, the most merciful. Salat bar Muhammad. Before I go into giving the detail explanation on harassment, today I would like to ponder on this point here. Nisa al-mu'minun, mu'mineen. But my point is on iman, because mu'mineen is the believers, and it's coming from iman. Iman is faith, right? As I said earlier, that Allah wants the believing, this thing is gonna throw me down. That Allah wants the believing women to cover themselves, to go outside differently. Faith is something which is in the heart. We all know that, right? Ayatullah Shahid Mutahari has got a very good explanation on faith and how to acquire faith, how to increase faith. And he also says that because faith is something which is in the heart, so it is something that needs to be internalized. That means whatever knowledge we gain outside our heart, that knowledge has to be internalized inside us, in our hearts, in order for us to become believers, in order for us to have that faith. Because there is a big difference between Islam and Iman. There is a big difference between a Muslim and a mu'min. There is a big difference between knowledge and Iman. And Ayatollah Mutahari in his book Islam and Pluralism gives a very good example. He says, he gives example of Shaitan. He says, look at Shaitan. Shaitan knew everything. And he proves from the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Shaitan to do sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, right? He says, when Allah tells Adam to do when Allah tells Shaitan to do the sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Shaitan refuses. But what does he tell Allah? He says, Allah khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen, right? He uses the verb khalaqa, which means created. He tells Allah that you have created me out of fire. So Ayatollah Mutahari says that Shaitan had the knowledge that Allah was the creator. I want you to pay attention here. Shaitan had the knowledge that Allah was the creator, that Allah was the one who created him, and Allah was the one who created Hazrat Adam, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Shaitan that since you are not going to obey me, you have refused to obey me, I kick you out of my heaven, right? And Shaitan tells Allah that I have worshipped you all these years, and you are a merciful God. Shaitan has a knowledge that Allah is merciful. So I want some rewards from you, okay? And here Allah tells Shaitan that, okay, I give you reprieve until the day of judgment. Or Shaitan asks for reprieve until the day of judgment from Allah. And Ayatollah Mutahhari says, see, Shaitan knew, he had the knowledge that there is the day of judgment. The knowledge was there. Okay? At the same time, Shaitan tells Allah that I'm going to stand on the right path, on Sirat al-Mustaqim, and I'm going to take away all of your people, illa mukhlisin, except the ones who are mukhlis to you. That means Shaitan knew that there is Sirat al-Mustaqim, he had that knowledge, and he also knew that there are people whom he will not be able to even get closer to them. Ayatollah Mutahhari says, Shaitan had all this knowledge. Right? And after that, what happens after that? After Allah allows him to do that. So Ayatollah Mutahhari says that at the end, even after all this knowledge, Shaitan ends up to be wakana min al-kafirun. That he becomes among the non-believers. Right? So Ayatollah Mutahhari says that just because you have the ilm of something, you have the knowledge of something, it does not make you to be a believer. Because Shaitan had the knowledge of everything, yet he ended up to be a non-believer. Is that clear? Yes. Right.
And if angels don't have free will,
right.
How we distinguish angels and what other people
have free will. Right. Okay. I know it's not my topic, but I'll still answer you. The Shaitan was not an angel. Shaitan is a jinn. But because he worshipped Allah so much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him to the level of the angels. With free will. So he still had the choice whether to keep that status or to allow himself to go down. In which, in his case, Shaitan allowed himself to go down. Yes, because jinns also have free will, but the angels do not. We have intellect. No, they don't have such an intellect like ours. Our intellect is at the perfect level, at the highest level, sorry. Okay? So, Ayatollah Mutahhari says that having knowledge does not mean that you have the faith for it. Now, the question would arise that how will I transfer this knowledge outside that again, right? How will I internalize it into my heart so that I become a believer? And here is where we find this answer in the book of Imam Khomeini, the book called Sharh al-Sheikh al-Hadith, the explanation of his 40 hadiths. It's already translated in English. It's one of the excellent books. I really recommend everyone to take that and read page by page. Imam Khomeini in this book explains us how we do that. He says, imagine your heart to be just like a child. When a child is born in the family, right, the child doesn't know anything. The mother sits and she tells the child word at a time. She tells ba ba. And every day, every time, this mother would go ba ba, say ba ba, say ba ba, right? And every time the mother would see the father, she would show the child that this is your father. And then the mother would teach the child something else. So Imam Khomeini says that consider your heart to be the same as the child, right? The mother teaches her child words at a time, but it's not a one-day job. It's on and on and on and on until one day this mother finds that her child is able to pronounce these words. Then one day the mother finds that the child is able to put words into sentences, and then one day after so many years, maybe 4 or 5 years, The mother finds out that this child is able to pronounce the sentences even without the mother thinking, right? And the mother is, of course, very happy about it, becomes very happy. So Imam Khomeini says, consider your heart to be the child and train yourself the same way. Meaning, the ilm, the knowledge we gain outside, if we do not sit down and ponder upon it, if we do not sit down and try to internalize it, it will have no use for us. It will just be knowledge, just like shaitan. Right? At the same time, Ayatollah Mutahhari says that you could be doing everything that you think you are doing right, but there is that one thing that Allah wants you to do, and you do not do it, and you turn, you become exactly like shaitan, wa kana min al-kafirun. Allah subhanahu, you could be praying, you could be fasting, you could be doing all the volunteer work that you think you are doing. But if you're not wearing hijab, it is the same story as the shaitan. As the shaitan rebelled, even though he had all the knowledge that he had the knowledge that Allah is the creator, he had the knowledge that there is the day of judgment, he had the knowledge that Allah is the most merciful, he's going to forgive him, but yet he refused to bow down to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And it is because of that one act, shaitan became who he became. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرُونَ. So Mutahhari says that you could be doing everything right, but there is this one thing that maybe Allah wants from you. If you do not do it, you become exactly in the same position as the shaitan. I would like to end my subject here, my talk today here. My subject is the philosophy of hijab, but I just wanted to give a little bit of explanation on iman and just to point out that there is a difference between knowledge and faith. Just because we learn everything, it does not mean that we believe in it right away. But it is up to us how to train ourselves to internalize the knowledge we gain outside into inside by pondering on it, by training ourselves to extend that one day this child would just speak out the same way as that child speaks out. وآخر دعوانا والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى محمد. Yes, I will explain all that point next in my next talk, please. Okay. Maybe you want to keep your question for next session.
Okay.
Thank you. Any question as far as today's talk is concerned? Yes.
When you said
that, you know, if you have all the things in the world, you know, that if you eat away one thing, it can make you into a person. Is it just certain actions, or is it? It could be any act. Islam is a package. You cannot pick and choose. Either take it the way it is or leave it the way it is. Right? At the same time, I do realize that there are certain things that come as they come gradually. Right? I have seen sisters who said that I cannot just get up and start wearing hijab overnight. Right? So I would say to them, go step by step. And again, we learn this from the book of Imam Khomeini in the same 40 hadith. He says, when you want to learn anything, go step by step. When you want to act upon anything, take one day at a time. Otherwise, shaitan is going to make it seem so big for you that you are not going to be able to do it. You are just going to give up. And remember, shaitan is standing on the right path. So anytime you want to do something good, that is when he comes. وَيُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. That is when he comes to whisper in your ears, right? So take one step at a time. Like I would tell the sisters that if you're wearing a short top, then start wearing long tops, right? If you're not wearing hijab at all, then start like throwing the scarf here and going outside, or going to work or school or whatever. And slowly, slowly you will be able to have, to put the scaffold. And I have sisters who have tried, and alhamdulillah, they have succeeded. So it could be anything. It doesn't mean that it's hijab only. You know, we do, like, I do get lots of questions, especially in the month of Muharram. Some sisters would say, I don't wear hijab, but I pray, I fast, I know I'm a very good person, I do a lot of good deeds. And yet, on the other hand, I see a sister who has hijab, but she doesn't pray. Which one of us is better? I say, no one. No one. The very fact that you would think just because you are praying, you are better than somebody else, gives you the same quality as shaitan. So Islam is a package, you know? We take it as it is or we leave it. Yes. Yeah, inshallah I will mention that in my next talk. Yes, Sister Fat. Right. There is no force in religion. But then once you accept it, then of course there are certain things. I'll explain it to you this way. If you don't want to go to university, right? You don't have to write papers. You don't have to give exams. You don't have to sit in the class. You don't have to do all that traveling in winter and in summer, right? But once you go register yourself in university, then there are rules to follow. You can't get up 10 o'clock in the morning and show up in the class where the class has already started 8 o'clock. They're going to kick you out, even though you have paid your tuition fees. You cannot say that even though, well, I've paid my tuition fees, but I choose not to show up in the class. I choose not to give exams. Then they're going to say, well, sorry, we give you a big fat zero. We give you an F. Isn't it? Once you choose to go to university, you've got to abide according to the rules. Once you choose a religion, then you have to go through the way Allah has guided us. But then again, it is the perception. You can either look at the glass half empty or half full of water. At the same time, Islam tells you do not just follow anything blindly. You are supposed to seek knowledge, you are supposed to research yourself until the point that you believe. After you believe, that's when you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Okay? I hope I've answered your question. Mm-hmm. Allah says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. If you did not know before, and you start knowing from now, if you did not acquire that knowledge from the time you were a child, a kid, right, and you got opportunity now, then you repent, you will find Allah to be the most merciful, the most forgiving. Allah is not going to question you for something you did not know. Mm-hmm. Yes, because, I mean, you are wearing it even though you did not know. Right? See. Okay, my time's up. We need a 15 minutes break. So please recite aloud so what.